So last week in the first sermon of the series, I quoted Carl Jung in his book, The Practice of Psychotherapists. The Practice of Psychotherapists, where he said 1/3 of the cases that come to him are not suffering from any clinically definable neurosis, but simply from the aimlessness and meaninglessness of life. He went on to say that he would not object to say that purposelessness is the mental illness of our day. Think about that. He said he would not object to say, he's not going to reserve that, you know, and play politics. He's going to say just as he believe it is, that purposelessness and aimlessness is the mental illness of our day. So to put it bluntly, Carl is saying to live life without a purpose is insanity. To live life without a purpose is insanity. And if I put it in layman's terms, he says you're crazy. You're crazy. If you're gonna walk in this life, you're gonna live this life and you don't have a purpose, you're like a crazy person walking. He says purposelessness is the mental illness of our day. So now the question I have for you this morning, what is your life's purpose? What is your life's purpose? Do you have one? Do you have one? Especially in the areas that matters most. What is your life purpose for your marriage? Or do you have a purpose for your marriage? Or will your marriage be just till death do us part? And then what? We're not happy, but we made it. You know, we live as two strangers our entire 50 years of marriage, but she died. So we're still death do us part. There must be more to marriage than that. You gotta have a purpose for your marriage life. What is your life's purpose financially? For your finance? Somebody, I mean, you know that, you know it, that some, you know, I give this joke all the time. My first job was at 14 years old. I was a cashier at Consumers on Church Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. When I found the job, I was so elated, I jumped. It was $3.15. I was happy until I found my co-workers. I think I am way better and more qualified than, who are older than me, were making $4.50. And then I wasn't happy anymore. I started going to work with my head down. No one talked to me. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It's what you do with the money you make. What's your purpose financially? What's your life purpose for your family, for your children? As I said last week, is it that they just behave? Good kids that behave but does not want to come back home when they no longer have to, because they don't like that house that made them behave so strictly. Or is it that they're so smart and get all A's in high school and college and get great degrees, but yet they never turn back to look at home again? What is your life's purpose for your family? What is your life purpose for your career? Why are you still at your job? Is it because you love it? But some people are like, well, you know, tomorrow after my kids graduate, Tomorrow, you know, somewhere over the rainbow, I'm going to change things. No, or things going to change. Things will not change until you change. Things doesn't change until you change. What's your life's purpose for your relationship with God? Is it that you have a checkbox? Well, I prayed. Well, I came to church this Sunday. What is your life's purpose? Do you have one? If not, why not? Why don't you have one? If you don't take time to formulate your life's purpose, to discover what am I here for? What am I living towards? It's not just Carl Jung who makes that assessment. The Bible makes that assessment. The Bible says, if you live life without purpose, you are like a man running aimlessly. You're like a boxer beating the air. If you live life without a purpose, this is who you are. A man who's running aimlessly. A woman who is beating the air. Without a defined purpose, you will never throw a knockout punch on anything in life. It will always be a miss. It will always be shadow boxing. Now I'm Dave and Anita. Apostle Paul gave me the right to speak sport in church. I never thought about it. You know, all the time I'm talking about sport, I'm like, oh man, I'm always talking about sport. Hey, if Apostle Paul talks about sport, I have the right to talk about sport. You know, all my life, I love playing sports. And then if you grew up where I grew up in Brooklyn, in my park, we had one basket for basketball. One! Not two, you run here and find another one, you could split it in two. We had one basket. And we had 100 kids who show up to play basketball. If your team lose, it's gonna take 3 hours before you get back on that court. So you better win. And the funny thing about it, where I want to get to, sometimes the guy who show up with all the gears, I mean, he has a nice Lakers jersey, nice sneakers. I mean, everybody's looking at him like, whoa. And this guy don't know a thing about basketball. He'll be the first to go. He doesn't have a purpose. There's nothing to him. He just show up. He just like to look like it, but there is nothing about him. What is your life's purpose? Some people like to get married. They love the idea of getting married, but they have no purpose for marriage. If you're single, you want to get married, then you cannot date like everybody else. You must date on purpose. Because while you're sitting with this guy, you know, you will never marry with. Another guy you should be married with pass by and see you sitting with this guy and says, oh, she's no longer available. He's no longer available. You must date on purpose. If marriage life is what you want. Or else you will never throw a knockout punch. You will always be beating the air. It's gonna be misses and misses and misses. You will throw a punch, but only to fail. And to this, God sent you and me a stiff warning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, this is what he says. Do you not know in a race, all the runners run on purpose? They run on purpose. What's their purpose? To win the prize. All the runners run. In a race, all runners run. What God is saying is, are you clueless? Do you not know? That's what do you not know mean. Are you clueless? Are you clueless? You do not know in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. For those of you who were not here last week, this is the title of the series. It's going to be a 4-week series, started last week, and today's the second sermon. The title is Run This Way. Run in such a way. Run this way. And the reason why I played the Run DMC and Aerosmith is because talk about walk this way and run this way, right? Run this way. Run in such a way. So God is saying to win life, to accomplish anything of significance in life, or even to get a shot, you must live your life on purpose. You must live your life on purpose. Like you were in a race, and only one person gets the prize. So what are you waiting for? Run for us. Run for us. Run in such a way. Run in such a way. Live with this attitude and mindset. Marry with this attitude and mindset. Raise your children with this attitude and mindset. Date with this attitude and mindset. Live your Christian life with this attitude and mindset, as if you were on a race track and only one person's gonna get the prize, and that person gotta be me. Because it is when and only when you develop this type of mindset, you can even get in the game. You don't get it. This is what I've discovered. You're not even in the game if you don't have a purpose for life. You're just on the outside looking. You're talking about, well, I can't win. Oh, I fell out everything. Oh my God, he left me again. Oh my God, she left me again. Oh my God, I tried, but I didn't. No, it's because you didn't even have a purpose, so you're not even in the game. You're not even in the game until you set your life's purpose, until you sit down and say, from now on, today, this is who I am, this is where I'm going. You know, I was listening to John Maxwell. Most of you should know John Maxwell. If you don't, he's one of the he was one of the best writers and speakers when it comes to leadership. He says one day somebody asked his wife, "Does John Maxwell make you happy?" She says, "No. I make me happy." A lot of us want to wait for somebody to make us happy. Somebody to fill our cup. No. The Bible says that the Lord gives you, God can give you a joy that the world can't give, the world cannot take away. Your life does not depend on what men. Imagine this. If your success in life depended on men, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Run in such a way. Run in such a way. It's only when you develop this mindset set, you can say what Apostle Paul's about to say here. He says, because I run in such a way, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like I'm beating the air. He says, once you set that attitude, once you develop this mindset, once you get a purpose in life, you stop running aimlessly. When you wake up in the morning, you set your own agenda. You don't wait for somebody to call you and says, you want to go out? You already knew if you wanted to go out or not the next day. You already knew that you wanted to study. In fact, that's what we learn in business. If those of you who've done business, the opportunity cost. When I first learned that concept, it blew my mind. The opportunity cost. You choose to be in church today, you're missing out on something else. But now you have to evaluate to see which one is better. You choose to sleep, then you're missing on watching TV or writing a book, something. But you have to decide which one worth more. It's called the opportunity cost. So it says, the moment I begin to live life on purpose, therefore, what is therefore? Therefore, because I've done something already, I set my purpose, then I already know what I don't want. Not gonna run like someone who's running aimlessly. You will no longer wake up to go to work, to come back home, sit on your lazy chair, turn on the TV, eat your dinner, go to bed, and start the rat race all over again. Because knowing your life's purpose enables you to focus on what matters most. If you want to keep going, you gotta have a life purpose. You gotta have a life purpose. That's the reason why in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, Apostle Paul laid the steps to winning in life. The step to accomplish this purpose. This is what he says. He says, I have fought the good fight. The good fight. And that's what we're talking about, purpose. He didn't say, like I said last week to you, I don't know if I made it clear last week. I left here saying, did I really make this clear? When he says, I have fought the good fight. He didn't say, I have fought a good fight. A good fight is, well, whatever comes my way, I fight. And I could win. But what Apostle Paul is saying, because I know the fight I must fight, I don't take every fight. I don't go to every church. I don't read every book. I don't date every man because I know my purpose. I don't go to every party. I don't sleep at any time. I don't do certain things. Why? Because I know my purpose. Because I know the fight I'm here to fight. So he says, I have a purpose. But then he goes on to the second step. That's the first step. He says, I have finished what? The race. Not a race. I have finished the race. I don't mingle on too many things. I choose carefully what I want to be part of, what I want to give my life to. I don't jump into anything and everything because it is good. Or because I have always done it so. No, I don't. I only fight the purpose, the fight that I set out to fight. So he says, so if you want to get in the field to run this race, if you want to get in the game, run in such a way. Apostle Paul is saying to get in the game of life, you must have a purpose. But knowing your life purpose is not the only thing. It's the first step. It's not enough. So Paul suggested not only to fight the good fight, but I have finished the race. So what Paul is saying is to set life's purpose is one thing, but to accomplish your life's purpose is another. To set your life's purpose only qualifies you for the game. But to win the game takes something else. Have you identified your life purpose? Have you done so? Because last week, for those of you who were there, I said, go sit down. Grab a pen. Put it on paper. Put it on paper so that you can begin to look at it. Revisit it over and over again. And please, to discover a life purpose, what you want to do in life, it may not come in that one day when you sat down. It may take you a week. It may take you a month. It may take you a year. But you must work to get a life purpose. After all is said and done, if everyone was honest, what would they write on my tombstone? Because in America, we are not honest when somebody dies. The guy could be the worst person in the world. When he die, God is going to receive him in heaven like this. Every time I go to this funeral, I'm like, oh my God. Anyone who dies becomes the greatest person in the world. And everyone sitting there knows it's a lie. On the other hand, if you die in Haiti, you were a bad guy. They're going to walk on your grave. I mean, he'll let you know. It's like, it's too extreme. Too extreme. The American culture and the culture I was born in. Too extreme. And I was just thinking, like, man, why don't we just put it in the middle somewhere, somehow, right? But after all is said and done, just think about it. If somebody were to write honestly, to write a eulogy for you honestly, what would you want them to say? What would you want them to say? Because after you identify your life purpose, you must now put your boots on and go to work. That's what Paul is saying. It's not done because, oh, now I identified my life purpose. No. You know when you graduate whether it's high school, middle school, or college, what do they call it again? Commencement? Come on. I'm thinking, you know, Pastor Joe got a PhD not too long ago. We went to his commencement. That means that, whoa, I got a PhD, it's done. I'm done. No. It began. Because the reason why you went to school to get a PhD, to get a master's, to get a bachelor's, was not so that you could say, I'm done. So that you could begin. So your life's purpose is, so once you identify your life purpose, now you have to put your boots on and say, okay, now I'm ready to go to work. Because that's exactly what Apostle Paul says. Listen to what he says. He's saying that there are two steps to accomplish your life purpose. The first step, he's saying, you must know the course. What it takes to complete the course, and you must learn the rules of the game. Let me explain to you how I know he says that. First, you must know the course, what it takes to complete the course, and must learn the rules of the game. Let's put back the verse, Dave. This is what he says. He says, I have finished the race. Now let me ask you a question. How would he know he finished if he didn't know the course? How would he know he's finished? How would he know he's done to stop running if he didn't know the course? So you must know the course. You must know the track you're playing on. You must know what it takes to win a basketball game if you're playing a basketball game. You must know the rules of the game because if I don't know the rule of the game, what did he say? I myself will what? Be disqualified. So you must know the course, what it takes to complete it, and you must know the rule of the game. And he said, and then he said, so to know the course, to know the rules, to know what it takes to win the game, you must read, you must study, you must watch, you must learn. You must do these things. You must study. You must study. You got another course. My oldest son Isaiah decided this senior year of high school, he wants to play football. When he went to talk to the coach, what was the first thing the coach gave him? The game book. Yeah, well, if you're going to want to play this year, before you even step on the field, you must know the plays we're going to run because he wants to be a wide receiver. You must know what it takes to be a wide receiver for this team. So he comes home with a bunch of papers and with a bunch of signs that I don't understand. But everyone in that game, everyone in that race, everyone who plays for that high school knows because they've read, they've studied it, they heard the coach, they talked to the coach. So the first thing you do, you must prepare, you must know. You must know, you must study, you must watch, you must learn. So you're saying, Pastor James, then we'll go crazy, there's too many books out there. You know what I learned from Ted Williams, the great baseball legend? I heard him say one day, what I read he said one day, if you want to be a great batter in baseball, you don't need to follow everybody, every hitter. You don't need to read every hitter. You don't need to talk to every coach. Choose the top two or three guys who have ever done it and study their lives. I guarantee you, you will be a great batter. Just think about it. He says you could limit the noise. and focus. Read and study the guys who have done it the best. The guys, the coach who have taught it the best. That will be enough. So you're asking me, Pastor James, how do I win in life? I'm telling you, there are a lot of great books out there. I've read books that have changed my life, that have changed the way I've thought. But there is an author who wrote a book. And if it's talking about the life's purpose, the game of life, you don't have to read much. Get into your word. Get into the word of God. Because in the word of God lays out the plan to win in life. You don't need to read everything. Though it'd be good to read. But if you're going to start with one, if you want to get a shot of learning in life, turn to God's word. Turn to God's word. It changed my life at the age of 16. Because I started reading it. It changed the person that I was supposed to be. Because the person I am today, I'm telling you, it's not the person I had in mind. It's not the person I had in mind. I remember the biggest thing that happened to me was at the age of 15 going on 16 when Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with Joseph and he says, I can't do this to my God. I'm like, what? What? You fool! What are you talking about? This is a teenager talking, 15 years old. See, I'm talking, he didn't say, I can't do this to Potiphar, or you're too ugly, or you're too old, or whatever it is. I can't do this to my God. And then it struck me in the heart, I wanted to know that God from that day on. I wanted to know that God. What is it about his relationship with that God that make him pass everyone else to say, I can't do this to my God. And as I read, as I study, as I learn, as I listen, I've discovered that God in my life's purpose, man, I can't do this to my God. And you say, well, you know, Pastor James, every time I open the Bible to read, I sleep. Well, Dr. Hendricks says, if you read, you'll sleep. But if you need, you want. If you need, you want. If you're reading the Bible just for leisure, that's fine. But if you know that the Bible is there, as the Bible says, to instruct. The Bible's there to train. The Bible's there to rebuke into righteousness that you need the Bible, then you don't sleep because you need. I had never one day uttered a word in Chinese. But I went on vacation. You better bet. Actually, the kids could tell you, before I went to China, I started listening to some, okay, how do you just start with a small conversation? And then every time I want to get on the bus, my friends want to sit, and my wife, everybody else wants to sit in the back. I'm like, I don't want to sit in the back. I want to sit next to the guide. Because if I have an hour or 35 minutes, I want to ask every question I can. Because when I go to the store, I want to feel like I matter. In some ways. I want to ask one thing in that language. And then afterward they start talking to you. I'm like, no. I don't speak Chinese. I just know a few words. Never had no interest. Because I didn't need. But the moment I was in need, and guess what? This is the number one thing about learning a language. You gotta have a need for it. If you don't have a need, you'll never learn. Do you know English is the hardest language in the world? Trust me. When I came here as a kid, my first problem was people. People? How do you have P-E-O and that sounds like P? And you have P-L-E, it sounds like Po. What? This just doesn't make sense. This just doesn't make sense. But you know what makes English an easy language? The American dollar. Everyone wants it. Everyone needs it. If you read, you will sleep. But if you need, you want. So the first step to finish the race, you have to know the course. You have to know the course. And you have to know the rule of the game. And every game has a different rule. You can't play the basketball with the rules of baseball. Baseball have 9 innings with no time. The game could finish in half an hour, it could finish in 9 hours. Basketball have set 4 quarters. And after that, you're done. In soccer, you could step outside the line as long as the ball is in. Basketball, if your foot is outside the line and the ball is in, you're out. There is different rules for different games. And for the game of life, God has laid out the rules and the plan to prepare for the game of life. Why do we ignore it? Why don't we read it? Why don't we study it? Why don't we listen to it? And you're wondering, I'm wondering many a time, why am I going through the same thing over again? It's because you don't know the course, you don't know the rule, and therefore you don't know how to prepare for it. You know what I came to learn as I was reading the Bible? I started asking myself, how come when a person have sex outside marriage, they said you lose your virginity? How come they never said that for a married person? I've never heard somebody who had sex within marriage for the first time said, I lost my virginity. Because the purpose God has planned for it was for you to give it, not to lose it. And when you decide to get married and that guy signed on the dotted line and the girl start on dotted line, you decide. And guess what? Your parents know it's going to happen tonight. The priest know it's going to happen. The pastor know it's going to happen. Everybody knows it's going to happen. But no one have a problem with it because it is the time, the proper way to do exactly what it was meant for, to give it. And then if it happens, and outside of that context, you lose it. It blew my mind when God revealed that to me as I was reading the Bible. If you want to know the rules of life, you must read the book of life. You must study the book of life. You must listen to the book of life. Now he said there's a second step. He says knowing and doing is two different things. He says after you do this and know this, he says everyone who run in the race do what? They go into what? Strict training. Now that you know the course, you know what it takes to win the race. You know the rules. Now let's train for it. And that's the reason Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You know your word. You've studied it. Because if it's just about studying and learning the word of God, guess what? You can become a smarter sinner. You just become a smarter sinner. But after you read the word of God, there must be something else that follows to put it into practice. To go into strict training. You know what goes into strict training? The first step into strict training? The art of refusal. The art of refusal. When I heard that, if any one of you here knows Ray Allen, who used to play for the Celtics, play for Miami Heat and the Bucks, this guy did not eat a burger his entire lifetime in the NBA. What? For what purpose? He wanted to be the best at what he did. So he set a purpose to be the best at what he did. And he knew, in order to be the best at what I do, I must go into strict training. I'm going to keep my body in top shape. The first thing I'm going to do is the art of refusal. I'm going to know what I want to do and what I don't want to do. Somebody who's on course, somebody who has a purpose in life, when you come to them, they keep saying, no, no, can you come here? No, can you do this? No. It's not because they are stuck up. It's because they already have their agenda for the day. They already have their agenda for the week. They already have their agenda for their lives. So they're not going to, whether it looks good or it may be good, but this is not the point. Some people may wonder, why is Tom Brady winning so much? I'm telling you, Tom, when you look at Tom Brady, he doesn't look like he should be the best quarterback. It's not fast. 42 years old, still playing at the top of his life. He chose, this is what I'm going to refuse. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to eat certain things. I'm going to wake up. Listen, I had one of my neighbors, Ellis Hobbs. He left the neighborhood a long time ago. He lived next door to me. And one day he says, James, man, this guy Brady is crazy. You know what we do? We try to beat him to practice. We usually get there by 5 a.m. We said, one day, we're going to get there by 3 a.m. He was already there. When people used to come to the garden, as the other team is practicing, you know what Larry Bird does? He's running the laps around the garden. He's just letting them know, you can't outwork me. That's strict training. And when you come to know the book of life, you just cannot live your life out like everybody else. You must decide to refuse. I can't watch this. It begins with that. I see Christian watch anything and everything. I was perplexed to see my friends, my very good friends were like, what's that? I can't even remember the name. It was very popular. Washington, the girl's name is. Scandal? Oh, they talking about scandal. I can't see the next step. And all it's about a woman sleeping with another woman's husband. What? And that's what we look forward to? We miss the mark. I know it may sound dumb and stupid. But you know, I never watch American Idol because of that name. I watch all the other ones. In fact, there's one right now me and my kids watching because I love music. I love singing Songland. In fact, I'm making advertisement for it. Such a great show. I watch American Got Talent. American Idol? All I know is it may sound dumb, it may sound okay. God said there should not be an idol before me. Was it hard when everybody's talking about it? Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about scandal. Everybody's talking about this is us. You have to decide. This is my purpose in life. Apostle Paul says, my purpose in life, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and somehow to attend in the resurrection. I want to know him and the power of the resurrection. So if that's the purpose of my life, then there are certain things I just cannot partake in. I just cannot do. It may sound silly to everybody else because not eating one burger in 20 years sounds silly to me. Because when I was in China, after a week of eating all this Chinese food, well, my southern pastor Joe was like, we need a burger. I need a burger. In fact, I walk just to find a burger. Because if I ate that food one more day without cutting it with a burger, I'm going to go crazy. But for somebody who has a life purpose, we already know LeBron is the greatest basketball player. I'll save you, Dave, of this generation. Or ever. No, just, right? But why does he train the way he does? Why does he do what he does? Because he has a goal. Since he was a little kid, he said, I wanted to be the greatest basketball player in the world. And he acquired those skills. But yet now he's in the NBA. You think after 15 years, he's accomplished, he's won championship, he's won everything, he would stop. You think after 6 Super Bowl, Brady would stop. You think, no, they don't. They continue even harder. But some of us, after 5 years with God, we think, oh, I understand everything. You know, you go to church, you pray, and that's it. There's more to it. There is more to it. I have fought the good fight. I learned the course. I learned the rules. And I train myself for it. So that I am not disqualified. Because I know there's only one person in the race who gets the prize. I will not be disqualified. I alluded to that last week, and I want to close my sermon that way. For 46 years, I didn't know how to swim. It wasn't by choice. You think I was born in an island, but I was born in the middle of the island. There's no water in the middle of the island. I was born in Port-au-Prince. When I came here, I went to high school. For 4 years, they were working on my high school pool. It was only ready after I graduated. And every time I go to a party with some friends, there's a pool. Everybody's enjoying themselves. I'm sitting right by the pool. I'm not in the game. I took the Wilsons to Haiti and I brought them to the most beautiful waterfall, Bassin Bleu. It's amazing to see the water blue in the middle of a mountain and you thinking that should happen in the ocean. How is this thing so marvelous and wonderful? And then here they go in the deep end and Graham is just going crazy, going up the rock and just jump in. Everybody's swimming. I'm right there waiting for them. Not because I don't want to swim, but I know I'm not going to come back. But then I began to hear, not too long ago, but man, kids getting drowned and getting drowned. I'm like, man, I need to teach my children how to swim. So I set a purpose. The reason why all this excuse I had before is because I didn't have a purpose. Set my purpose. My kids going to have to know how to swim. For the purpose of saving their lives. For the purpose of enjoying themselves. I went to the Y and said, how much is it going to take to train the entire family? I don't want to be in a class with everybody. I want a personal lesson. When they gave me the price, I was like, and then they said, well, how long is it going to take? Well, for the kids, it might be 3 classes before they come. I'm like, lady, that's too long. We need it right now. So I began to read. I began to watch. I began to study. I began to copy down when I was on YouTube. Okay, this is what you do. This is the second step. This is the third step. This is the fourth step. So I went, I taught myself how to swim. And then I bring my children to the gym, to the pool and taught them how to swim in less than a month. Now, don't think I am any great swimmer yet, because I'm falling in love with it. I never knew it was that good. And they are falling in love with it. Because every morning that we're going to the pool, I've been going to this YMCA with them for over 11, 12 years. Never asked me to go to the pool until July. Why am I saying this to you? I'm saying to you that unless you set a purpose, you will not learn the game. You are not in the game. You will not learn the game. And then now what am I doing? I find out that you don't just have to know how to swim. The next step is endurance. So now I'm going to the Y. And I could only make it halfway. And I get up. My heart is just pumping like crazy. And I try it again. Last week I did one. Yesterday I went and came back. By next week I want to go and come back and go and come back. And I'm going to practice and practice into strict training. And then if anyone fall in the water, I could jump after them. That was only one place I know I can't save you. And there's no reason why two people must die. But what I'm saying to you, in something little that this little, it can be done. And you can win at life. But you have to make a decision. Am I going to follow the author of life? Am I going to set the purpose that he created me for and live for that purpose? Am I going to set time to learn the course of life? Because he lays it down right there in the Bible. And learn the rules. Rules are good. The rules are good. They're not there to keep you down. They're there to help you enjoy the game. If you're playing basketball, everybody's going walking with the ball. And then they just go and just throw it up. How fun would that be? But the fact that they have to bounce it, they can't hold it and bounce it again. That was a rule, but it makes you enjoy the game. When something does not please you, you can say, hey, stop. You double dribble. And that's what God set rules. Not to keep you down, but so that you could enjoy life. Then you decide to go into strict training. God, I don't just want to hear your word, but I want to put it into practice. Isn't that what the Bible says Ezra did? Ezra studied the word, he lived the word, and he taught the word. Run in such a way as to win the prize.